Hello and welcome to the Enjoy Church podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. We hope this message empowers, equips, and helps you become everything God has called you to be. Enjoy the message.
The first 6 months of this year, in the midst of my confusion, because yes, I had some of that myself, I had the opportunity to take a good look around the world. Why? Because I wasn't doing much else. So I opened up my eyes and I smelt the roses and I took a good look into the world. And you know what? As confused as I have been, I would have to say that it seems that the world and the communities of the world and the societies in which we live, they are way more confused about a whole lot of things than I am. Yeah. Way more confused. How many of you would agree that there is a lot of confusion in the world today? Yeah. There is a lot of confusion in the world today. People are confused about their identity. Now, some of you, just in case you were wondering what I said identity. Identity. It seems the whole world can talk about identity unless you have an identity of your own. You know what I'm saying? It's like the world is confused about identity. Now, as soon as I say this, I'm going to be called a hater and a bigot. Hop in line. Praise God. I don't care. As in, we need to be able to. The whole world's talking about it, but we're not allowed to talk to our children about their identity. Identity, 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 identity. Some of you are like, you need to go back to the couch. Okay, I'm going. After I finished, I got the microphone. You can't take it off me. Not even Moses, wherever he is. He can't get it off me. I can run faster than him. They're old, but they still work. People are like, thank you, baby. Ooh. Still got it, sweetheart. People are confused about their identity. People are confused about their gender. Oh, we're not allowed to talk about that. We're not allowed to talk about that. People are confused about their value. People are confused about their worth. There's so much confusion in the world in which we live. People are confused about today. People are even more confused about tomorrow. That which was considered an absolute yesterday is considered as fluid today. As a result, political correctness, which I hate, by the way, you know, another word for political correctness is gagging common sense. It's just gagging common sense. As a result, political correctness is gagging common sense, and far-left ideologies and wokeism are waging war on the conservative and principled values of mainstream Christianity and community. I say in community because most of the streets, if you were actually to talk to people in your street, most wouldn't live too far from where you live in a lot of thinking, but because of the voices that are at work and at play in the world today, no one's allowed to say what they think anymore. As much as it may be common sense, how many of you know common sense has left the building and it's not actually that common at all today? But this issue of confusion, it's not just an issue for the world. And I'm not here to look at the world or judge the world. It's like the world is the world. We expect the world to be the world. But how many of you know this issue of confusion is just as much an issue in the church today as it is in the world? Just as much. Now, praise God, I got your attention. I can tell you're like, yeah. It's like you're listening, but I want to encourage you to listen and lean in. Lean in. The point of this message isn't just to come and stir the pot. The point of this message is to stir something in you that you might return to your roots in God and lay hold of God like never before, that same resurrection power that raised Christ from the dead might rise up in you, that you might live the life that God has got for you. So we need to go here. The church has become confused because we've entertained, we've discussed and even debated things that have all the time been leading us down a path that ultimately leads us to rejecting God. Now, I know we don't want to talk about this because we're in church. How can we be rejecting God if we're in church? We're in church, Shane. Have you not realized we're here? Why would you say we're rejecting God? Friends, it doesn't matter where you're at on a Sunday morning. What matters is where you're at in your life and in your heart and in your thinking, in your belief systems. That's what matters to you, and it needs to matter to God. We are living in a world where the world is rejecting God and the spirit of the world is attacking the church. And now we debate things that should not be debated. We're talking about things that it's like, why are we talking about this? Why can't common sense prevail? in the world? Why can't common sense prevail in the church now? Why is that spirit invading us to the point where we won't talk about things that need to be spoken about? So now the church, which was founded upon Christ, He is our foundation, has a crumbling foundation as truth is exchanged for falsehood and absolutes are exchanged for convenience. Truth has become relative. Wow. Friends, truth is not relative. Yeah, that's right. Truth is truth. That's why we have the ability to be saved. You shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free. It's not relative to your circumstance. It's relative to God because God is truth. He is the way, the truth and the life. But truth for many has become relative and absolutes have become irrelevant. But friends, there are absolutes. Heaven and hell, life and death, these are at the end of the day, they are absolutes. And we need to get them sorted because if we don't get them sorted on this side of life, we certainly won't get them sorted on the other. So when we talk about this truth being exchanged, absolutes becoming irrelevant, it leads to a frail and a powerless church. In many parts of the world, you would know, and you see, the reality is the church has become, it's irrelevant, it's struggling, it's powerless, it's I don't even know that it's saving itself, let alone the world in which it's a part of. When the light goes out, how great is the darkness? We are called to be the lighthouse of the world. We need to let our light shine. And the only thing that's going to cause us to shine is the truth of Jesus Christ. That is it. There's nothing else. But you know and I know this was never God's intention for the church. This was never God's heart for the church. That we would be irrelevant, that we would be powerless, that we would be exchanging these realities. The church was always meant to be a testimony of the good grace of God and an expression of His love and power that leads to the salvation of humanity. That is what we are, and that's why we need to stay true to who God has called us to be. Yes, there's all sorts of craziness and madness and confusion out there, but we need to stay true to who God is and who God is calling us to be. In Matthew 16, from verse 18, it says, "Now I say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock, what rock are we talking about? We're talking about God's revealed truth, revelation. And upon this rock, I will build my church, and all the powers of hell will not conquer it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom." How many of you want the keys of the kingdom? Praise God, 8 of you. That's awesome. Good job. Praise God. There's a few more keys out the back. How many of you want the keys of the kingdom? All right. "And I'll give you the keys of the kingdom." You say, what do I need the keys of the kingdom of heaven for? "So that whatever you lock on earth will be locked in heaven. Whatever you open on earth will be opened in heaven." All right. Luke chapter 6, verse 46. "So why do you call me Lord when you won't obey me?" How many of you want Jesus to be your savior? Give me a wave if you want Jesus to be your savior. All right. How many of you want Jesus to be your Lord? It's interesting, isn't it? I think it's a whole lot easier to have Jesus as Savior than Jesus as Lord. Savior is what He's done. Lord is about what you will do. Because you acknowledge He is the Lord, so therefore you're going to obey His word. But Jesus asks a question, and He's asking it of His people. Why do you call me Lord when you won't obey me? I will show you what it's like when someone comes to me, listens to my teaching, and then obeys me. It is like a person who builds a house on a strong foundation laid upon the underlying rock, the revelation of Christ. When the floodwaters rise and break against the house, it stands firm because it is well built. But anyone who listens and doesn't obey is like a person who builds a house without a foundation. When the floods sweep down against that house, it will crumble into a heap of ruins. As I look at the world, it's crumbling. I'm not here to judge the world. I'm not here. That's not my role. It's not your role. But how many of you can see the world is crumbling around us? It's like it's grappling for answers. It's in confusion, a state of confusion. It doesn't know which way to go. It doesn't know which way's up. And we all see it. It is crumbling. But that's what Jesus said. When you build your life without this foundation, this rock as your foundation, the house is going to come down. Church, the challenges that we are facing today, they are not new. They are not new. If you're between the ages of 16 and 30, Don't come and tell me again that I don't know what it's like and that this is something no time in history has ever been through. There's nothing new under the sun. We've had it all before. I understand these are difficult days, but there's been difficult days before and there'll be difficult days to come. If Jesus tarries, it's probably not going to get better. And if it does, it's only going to get worse again. Because there's a spiritual fight on for the souls of men and women. There's a spiritual war at play here. And we don't fight against flesh and blood. Let's understand this. We're not fighting humanity, but there is a spiritual reality at play. And if you look around the world and the state of confusion, there has to be a spiritual reality. Because humanity cannot be this stupid. Thank you very much. You saw the funny side of that. Where's that filter? I need the filter, give it back. But you would have to agree, wouldn't you? As you look at some of the things that are happening in society and community, it is bizarre. It's bizarre that intellectual people, smart people, intelligent people, wise people are just going along with things and it's like, yes, this is good. No, it's not good, it's evil. There's so much evil, but we won't call it evil. We're like, no, yes, no. What the heck? We were confused. Confusion is on the earth. It's a spirit. Friends, I want to encourage you, this is not new. We've been here before. It's not new. The challenges we are facing today are not new. Neither in the world nor in the church. We've all been here before. False, lying, and deceiving spirits. Praise God. It's good to be back on the platform, by the way. I'll find that filter before Jesus comes back. Maybe. False, lying, and deceiving spirits have roamed the world since Adam and Eve were tending the garden. Go back to Adam and Eve. I say none of this is new. It wasn't new back then. Why do you think the enemy came in and said to Adam and Eve, did God really say? Did God really say? How many of you know they knew what God said? What was it about? What was it about? What did the enemy want them to bite into? Wasn't it knowledge? Knowledge? How many of you know knowledge is good? And knowledge can be evil. Knowledge in itself is not the answer. In Proverbs, it talks a lot about knowledge. It says knowledge with understanding equals wisdom. But knowledge by itself can get a whole lot of people into a whole lot of trouble, even within the house of God. Friends, I want to encourage you today. We need to be a people who understand the times that we're in. False, lying, and deceiving spirits have been here since the beginning of time. From the time of the garden until now, this has been a reality. And until Jesus comes back, it will continue to be a reality. In Matthew 24, from verse 23, it says, at that time, if anyone says to you, look, here is the Christ, or there he is, do not believe it. Isn't that interesting? I don't know about you, I find this interesting. This is Jesus speaking here. And he's saying, if you're hearing that I'm here or hearing that I'm there or there he is, do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will appear and perform great signs and miracles. Are they real? Absolutely they're real. So they're going to have the appearance of being truth. But they're not truth. Friends, I want to encourage you, do not be deceived. Do not be deceived. For false Christs and false prophets will appear and perform great signs and miracles to deceive even the elect. How many of you would consider yourself part of the elect? Give me a wave if you're saved. You know you're going to heaven. Praise God. 20% of our church is on the way to heaven. You guys, come on. You got to help me out here. Preach better. You got to listen better. All right. How many of you consider yourself part of the elect? That's you. That's us. All right, so what are the false prophets and what are the false Christs? What are they looking to do? They're looking to deceive even the elect if that were possible. That's you and me. Deception, it's a spirit. We wonder why there's confusion in the world. The whole world is confused at the moment about the most basic things that yesterday were absolute and now they're fluid. They're confused. But now the spirit is looking to come into the church, false Christ, false prophets, to even deceive us if that was possible. So the enemy, Satan, the deceiver, is looking to bring confusion to the church for one reason and one reason only, and that is to deceive even the elect, to deceive us. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, Shane, you've got to read on, finish the scripture, because it says, if that were possible. Now, some of you would be saying, well, if it says, if that were possible, then it's not possible. That's why it's saying, if that were possible. I'm not in that school of thought. I'm not there. I'm not a Calvinist. You can be a Calvinist. I've got no issue with that. But I'm not a Calvinist. I need to work out my salvation every day. Yeah. Bible says work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Why would I be fear? Why would there be fear if I'm saved and always saved? The enemy, why would he be looking to deceive even the elect if that were possible? It's like, but it says if that were possible, so it's not possible. But I say it is possible, which is why the scripture goes on to say, see, I have told you ahead of time. Yeah. I'm going to let you know how the enemy is going to try and I'm going to let you know what's happening here. The deceiver is going to come and he's going to come looking like me. He's going to come looking like a prophet. He's going to come with all the signs and miracles and wonders because he wants to deceive you. But I'm telling you now, do not be deceived. Yeah. Do not be deceived. Friends, can I encourage you today? Do not be deceived. Don't be deceived. The reason Jesus has told us ahead of time is so that when confusion reigns, and I actually think as we look around the earth, it's crazy out there. And getting crazier by the day. When confusion reigns, Jesus is telling us this is what's going to happen. So when it does begin to rain, we might be found holding on, grasping onto God's truth and his absolutes rather than falsehood and convenience. It's not going to be easy. We've got brothers and sisters in some parts of the world that even for reading their Bibles in public are going to get locked up. They just disappear. We've got brothers and sisters that are losing their lives because of their faith in Christ. And we struggle to just hang on to our faith in the most basic and fundamental ways. Friends, I want to encourage you, this is not a day to be shrinking back from truth, but this is a day to be laying hold of Christ and his truth and his word like never before. When this was occurring in Joshua's day, and the truth is this occurred in Joshua's day, it occurred in Moses' day, it occurred in Jonah's day, it occurred in Jesus' day, it occurred in Paul's day. It's occurred in every season and every century since the beginning of time. There's this war going on because of the false spirits and the evil spirits and there's this fight going on for the souls of humanity. When it was happening in Joshua's day, Joshua took his stand. Where are the men and women of God that will take a stand in the darkest of days? Where are the men and women of God that are going to say, I am not going to shrink back from truth. If truth be truth. Now, if you do not believe the word of God is truth, then I want to encourage you to go on that journey until you get a revelation that this is actually God's word. But when you have a revelation that this is God's word, can I encourage you, don't let go. Like that guy riding the white horse, his name is Faithful and True. How many of you know we're talking about Jesus? He's faithful and true, and he's going to take a stand, and he comes to wage war, not peace. Now, I'm not talking in the natural. We're talking in the spirit. We don't fight flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers of darkness. But we need to stand when it's time to stand. Joshua took a stand, and he says in Joshua 24, verse 15, if it is disagreeable in your sight to serve the Lord. All right, just back it up maybe. So if it's disagreeable in your sight to serve the Lord, then all of us that are here today that are saying, I want to serve the Lord, we need to take something from this passage as well. But if it is disagreeable in your sight to serve the Lord, choose yourselves today whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served, which were beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me in my house, as for me in this house, we will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we will. As for me and my house, We will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we're not going to back away. We're not going to shy away. If truth be truth, then we're going to serve truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. So we need to embrace truth, pursue truth, love truth, honor truth, and keep leaning into truth. We recently had a meeting upstairs where Pastor Louise asked me, as I step back into this space, what is most important to me? Now, there'd be lots of things that are important. Lots, like thousands of lots. There's lots that is important. What is most important to me? I want to encourage you, answer the question, not now, but when you go home, consider the question, think about the question, and work it out. I was asked in that moment, Shane, what is most important to you as you step back into leading in Joy Church? I said, Louise, there's two things that are most important. Number one, my relationship with God. Yeah. It's like, but what about? No. At the end of the day, I'm me, and I have my own walk with God. And what's most important to me now and forevermore is my relationship with God. And secondly, is my relationship with my wife, my one and only. As in, Georgie is not me, but an extension of who I am in the fact that we are one. My first port of ministry is to my wife. It's like, I gotta love God right, I gotta love my wife right. If I'm loving God and I'm loving my wife, the rest can take care of itself in the fullness of time. My daughters, my granddaughters, and all the rest of that, my son-in-law, and it's like, and you, and it'll be right. But if this is not right, then none of it's gonna be right. If this is not right, this won't be right. If this is not right, we won't be right. So I made it clear. This is where it's at, my relationship with God, my relationship with my wife. You know, girls, can I encourage you? What you want more than your husband loving you most in the world is him loving God most in the world. Because if he's loving God right, he can love you right. If he ain't loving God right, he won't love you right. Now, you might be saying, that's pretty judgmental. No, it's pretty factual. I'm here to help. Where's that filter? Praise God. You got that for free. The first service didn't get that. Now, the enemy, the deceiver, would love to deceive me in relationship to my walk with God, my walk with Georgie, and my walk with you. But he can't ever deceive me if I'm hanging on to two things I need to hang on to more than anything else. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That's my decision. That's my choice. The enemy's going to try and confuse it all, deceive me in it. But he can't have that. We're going to serve the Lord. We're going to continue to serve the Lord. And we're going to do it. We're going to worship him in spirit and in truth. Friends, I want to encourage you, spirit and truth is required for you to live a deception-free life. If you want the cloud to go away, then lay hold of the spirit and lay hold of truth. John chapter 4, verse 23 says, as the worship team come, but an hour is coming and now is when true worshipers. Does anybody else find it interesting that Jesus would actually say true worshipers and not worshipers?
Yeah.
Anybody else? It's like, isn't it interesting that Jesus would actually have to put true worshipers in that sentence? Because there's all sorts of worshipers, but they're not all pleasing to God. But the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For such people, the Father seeks to be his worshipers. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. The reason there's an identity crisis and so much confusion on the earth and even within the church today is because, as it says here in Romans chapter 1, verse 25, for they exchanged the truth of God for a lie. We live in a world that's been doing this, and the spirit of the world doesn't want you to know who you are. So it attacks your identity, which can only ever be found in Christ. The enemy doesn't want you knowing who you are, that you are actually a child of God. The enemy doesn't want you to understand. And you know, that's why I started with identity when I started this. There's so much confusion about identity because nobody, if you do not know the Father, you will never know who you are. And if you don't know who you are, this world's going to try and feed you, all sorts of lines that are going to lead you to so much confusion. Well, why is it in schools, now in Victoria, been happening in Canada for ages, why do they put kitty litter in the toilets so that the children who think they're cats can go to the toilet? Why can't we say to the children, we love you, but you're not actually a cat? Now, I'm not condemning anybody. And if you think you're a cat here today, let's have a chat later. Because obviously it's real. People are so confused that they don't know who they are. And we live in a world with a system that's driving it. Driving it. You know as well as I do, they're driving hard. For they exchange the truth of God for a lie and worship and serve the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. But we live in the world, and the world has got large and loud voices. Those voices will scream at you and scream at me if we come out with a different opinion. But those voices, they can be heard every day, and most of you are listening to them every day. I listen to a lot of them every day. That's just reality. We live in a world. We're not of it, but we're in it. The thing is, how are we going to be influenced by it more than the Lord and the kingdom of God? The voices in the world that we're all listening to are the government, business, entertainment, media, education, religion, and dare I say it, touch the holy cow, the family. Praise God for family, God-fearing families. But when their voice is in opposition to God, we need to say no. When the government is saying you can worship on this day but not on this day, we need to say no. When entertainment, you know what I find interesting? I find it interesting that the AFL, which I love the footy, but I find it really interesting that AFL consider themselves really to be the social architects of this country. And you look at their broken lives and I'm like, why? And I'm not having a go at them but it's like, why would we listen to a system that can't even run football well? But they try to tell us how to live our lives and how to do marriage and how to do so much. Anyway, that's the filter. I need to get back on track. You know as well as I do, as I listen to some of this stuff and I'm like, who are you to be telling us how to live? Who are you to be telling us how to raise our children? You know, the education system, and for me, as in, just let me load up for a minute. Praise God for all the wonderful men and women that are in that system that are doing their best. But the system itself is broken and evil. Evil. I couldn't believe when I went to the last election and I stood there in line to go and vote, I couldn't believe how many different pride things were being taught to the grade ones, twos and threes. And if you come from that part of the community, God bless you. Let's just keep walking together and find Jesus in the middle of it all. But we live in a system that is corrupt. We live in a system that is, can I say it, evil. When we send our little children and you've got them, my heart goes out to all the parents that are in this place that have got little babies coming through the system. You know, when we send them to school and they're not going to be called a little boy or a little girl anymore. They're going to be told they can be a little boy or a little girl. They need to have a choice. I don't know about you. I don't just think that is wrong. I think it's evil. Little boys should be able to be little boys and little girls should be able to be little girls. And they should be able to go and actually be taught. Maybe if there was more focus on 1 + 1, maybe some of them could actually add up when they leave school. Maybe if they were taught more about grammar, maybe they could speak English. Why is the education system teaching this to our children? I just want them to be educated so they can do well in life with a good education. Now, I know that I'm pushing buttons today, and I'm not looking to be offensive for offensive sake, but the reality is this: our world is confused. And now this confusion is coming into the church. And it shouldn't be like this. It shouldn't be like this. We should be able to hang on to truth like there is no tomorrow and say, I'm going to worship the Lord. I'm just going to pray for you.